Scripture reading this morning, I will be reading two verses. And the first one comes from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 32. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And the second verse, second passage, will be Jude, verse 20. And it reads, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit."
We are indeed grateful to the God of heaven who allows us to come together to worship, to remember the Lord's death till he returns, to be able to encourage one another in the most holy faith. And I appreciate those passages that were read in our hearing. And the reason why is because they are very encouraging passages. As Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, and he says, "I commend you to God, I deposit you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Is such a blessing to be able to be surrounded by those who love God's word, who are striving to do that which is right. And I hope, pray, and trust that if you are with us, visiting with us, that you will keep in mind to come back and visit us at your earliest opportunity. We're going to be talking about the benefits of Christ's law. As we have been talking about the jurisdiction of truth all month long, I want us to be considering some of the benefits, some of the blessings of Christ's law. When we consider, we are what we think. You can't get around it. Solomon would say a long time ago in Proverbs 23 and verse number 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." We are what we think. When we consider the decisions that we make, the information that's in our minds, we are products of that information. Reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse number 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Friends, we stop and we consider those great words and we think about the words of Solomon, the words of Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, who are we? What type of thinking do we have? What type of jurisdiction does Jesus have over our thought process? Many are living their lives today having the mentality YOLO. You only live once. Many are living their best life right now. These are some of the sayings that's going on around us. You ask certain people, what does that mean to you? Many don't even know. They're just repeating what they've heard, living your best life. I find it very interesting that when we consider people who are abiding by their truth, "I'm living my truth," as if truth resided in them, as if they were the author of truth. Jesus would say in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth." Jesus would say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We consider these great words, and we understand that we have a great responsibility when it comes to truth. We are commanded to obey God, to trust God. Solomon would say in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding." Yet many are leaning to their own understanding today. Nothing new. However, these are the times that we live in. As David served his generation, we're serving ours. We can't have the attitude, "I'm living my best life." We can't have the attitude, "You only live once." We can't have the attitude, "I have to abide in my truth." Not when Jesus has jurisdiction over all. He has jurisdiction over our lives. He has jurisdiction over truth. When we consider most of the world today is disobedient to the will of God, crime is running rampant, skyrocketing, not just in the United States of America, but the world. You turn on the news and you see the bad news of crime going on everywhere. Just can't blame the United States of America. Racism is being used as a cloak for control of people. Socialism and communism has crept in everywhere. Inept and incompetent men are running nations. It's very unfortunate that even religion is slowly becoming the enemy of the state. We stop and we consider these words, and moral behavior is being equated with, notice this, civil rights. This is an all attack on morality and the church. Yet this is nothing new, as the Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians 6 in verse number 10 through verse number 12. Friends, we're fighting a war against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Nothing new. However, when we consider there is a remnant, there is a faithful few. Brother Royce, there are those who are actually doing the will of God. There are those who are allowing the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ to reign over their lives. They're not like those, as Jesus would say in Luke 19, verse number 14, we will not have this man to reign over us. No, we are allowing the Lord to reign over us. We are allowing the Lord to be the moral compass for our lives. He is the moral conscience for our lives. He is our fortitude. And so we stop and we consider the great words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, 27 through 29. And has always been those who have done the will of Almighty God, always. And there always will be. There will always be those who do God's will. Brother Daniel, we can trust that. We just want to be one of them. We just want to be one of the ones who are doing the will of God, who are allowing the control of Jesus Christ to reign in our lives. There will always be those who are doing God's will. There will always be those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Acts 8 verses 1 through 12 demonstrates. There will always be those who are living or putting their lives on the line for Jesus Christ, like Epaphroditus did in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 30. There will always be those. And we ought to be thankful for that. And for that reason, we understand that we're under the jurisdiction of truth. All month we've been talking about that. Stephen helped us out, giving us the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of Jesus Christ a few weeks ago. Great lesson. If you haven't listened to it, go online, listen to that. But friends, Jesus has all authority. The territory in which the truth governs is Jesus' jurisdiction. The realm of righteousness is the jurisdiction of truth. The sphere of salvation is the jurisdiction of truth. And even though it seems as if there is a famine in the land, as Amos 8 and verse number 11 says, there are still those who are benefiting from applying the law of God in their lives. Friends, we can't help but to know that God has been good to us by giving us his word. I won't keep you long this morning. Just want to recap some things we talked about this month. When we stop and we consider our lives being under the sphere of Jesus Christ, Jesus gives us great benefits. There are great benefits to being obedient to the will of God, to remaining within the territory of truth, the realm of righteousness, the sphere of salvation. There are great benefits. Jesus said in John 10 and verse number 10, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life. That's a benefit. And have it abundantly. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to have the abundant life. We can have it now. Or Wish I could get to a point, but I got to stay with my outline. Because when we stop and we consider our lives benefiting, what we must do is continue to work out our salvation. What does that mean? That when I recognize the authority of Jesus Christ and I submit myself to that authority willingly, there's one thing to be forced to do something right. There's another thing to submit your will to the one that desires for you to do right. And so we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. When we consider the favor of God, we obtain that favor when we stay within the will of God, within the word of God, within the wisdom of God. And when we do that, friends, we can't help but win, even when it seems like we're not. So point number one, when we consider all must abide by Christ's law, every single person, whether or not they have a desire to or not is one thing, but everybody must abide by the law of Christ. Why? Because God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. What does that mean to us? That we submit to Jesus Christ because God told us to, because God put everything under him. Yet in 1 Corinthians 15, 24, all things are under Christ except he that put all things under him, and that's God himself. There is an order, just like in the husband-wife relationship. We understand that the husband is the head and that the wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband. That's the order. And just as we are the body of Christ and Jesus Christ is the head, we are submissive to him. The world is mixing these things up and have been mixing them up for a long time. Even to the point that some women think that they are head over their husbands, but that's false. If we're going to do things the way that God will have them done and stay within the jurisdiction of truth, the sphere of salvation, the realm of righteousness, friends, if we're going to triumph in truth, we have to stay with the order. Jesus spoke the words of his Father, John 12 and verse number 49. His authority, notice this, is in heaven and on earth. Can you imagine having all authority where even the angelic beings, the host of heaven, they do what you say? And those who have a desire to submit their will to the will of God on earth, they do what he says. Again, it brings to my attention the point that Brother Dennis brought up on last week concerning Revelation 13 and verse number 8. I used it at camp this week. It's a powerful point that even those who will not submit their will to the will of Jesus Christ will be judged by him. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 26 and 27. Those who fail to allow Jesus to reign over them will be brought before him after they submit to him. Philippians 2 verses 5 through verse number 9. And they will be slain in front of the master. Stop and I consider that and I think about those who abide by Christ's law. Those who listen to Jesus. He has the final authority in their life, because they have given it to him. And Jesus would say, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. Question, are we submitting our will to the will of God? Are we abiding, remaining, being steadfast under the law of Christ? Friends, we must. And this is how we go out and evangelize, because we're going out talking to people and telling people that I'm under the law to Christ. I listen to Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Mike, what if it cost me my job? What if it cost me my life? What if it cost me income? What if it cost me my name? So what? One day we'll hear, well done. No better name than that, than a name that's given to you that only you know in heaven. We stop and we consider the great words of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about this and was talking to Brother Brian about this on yesterday and this morning. And I was thinking about John 17 and verse number 2, when Jesus was praying to his Father before he went to his scourging, his beating. Thank you, Father, that you've given me authority over all flesh. We stop and we consider those words. This authority includes all and excludes none. It includes all and excludes none. There's no one outside of the authority of Jesus Christ. What does this have to do with anything? It has everything to do with all things, because, friends, this is the authority that we have submitted ourselves to. And when we do that, we're pleasing to God. You want to be pleasing to God? Submit to his Son. Submit to his Son in your marriage. Submit to his Son in your mind, in your occupation, with your spirituality, your holiness. Submit to his Son. And I guarantee you, your life will be the way that God will have it to be. His law, the law that we must abide by, is called the law of Christ. It's called the law under Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 21, Galatians 6, verse number 2. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we understand the true benefits of the law of Christ? In James chapter 1, starting at verse number 21, going down to verse number 25, all of us must abide by the law of Christ. There are great benefits to doing so, to staying faithful. Friends, this is why we come to worship as well. We demonstrate our faithfulness. Let us never, ever have the mindset to think that I can forsake the assembly, that I can attend worship when I want to attend worship, that I'll be there when I be there, and when I get there, I'll do what I want. Friends, that's not our attitude. Let us never have the attitude that I can say what I want to say to people. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Let us never have the attitude that I'm the type of worker that I can work the way that I want to work. We live in a time today where people don't even want to work. They want to stay at home and collect a check. Friends, let this not be said about the children of God. In James 1, 21 through verse number 25, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, notice, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, notice the illustration he gives. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But notice three things in this verse here, friends. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one is blessed in what he does. Notice, he's looking, he's continuing, he's not forgetting. All of us must abide in the law of Christ. But there are some not looking. And if you're not looking, you're not continuing. And if you're not looking, you have nothing to forget. But there are some that have looked and have at one time continued and have forgotten, and now they're not blessed. Those of us who are staying within the word of God are being protected by the will of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse number 8 through verse number 10, we stop and we consider this point, the one that I really wanted to get to. We understand that there's great protection within the law. Within the law. I was pondering this week because we was teaching Timothy this week at camp. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind as I was studying and ready to deliver this information to these young people is verse number 8 to verse 10. You think about the law of God, the law of Christ. It's our friend. If you love me, keep my commandments. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. John 14:15. But we know that the law is good. Notice this. If one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made, notice, for a righteous person. Why? Because the righteous person is doing the law. The righteous person is submitting themselves under the law. The righteous person understands that the law is for their protection. I never have to worry about a venereal disease if I'm faithful to my wife. I never have to worry about being in jail if I don't commit crimes. I never have to worry about things outside of the law if I remain within the law. And I'm talking about the law of Christ. And the reason why I say that, friends, is because of this. We may find ourselves in an Acts 5 situation, Brother Royce, where we may have to go against the law of the land in order to keep the law of God. However, we're still righteous because of the law. But notice, who is the law for? But for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly. Notice the list of sins and attitudes that Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives unto us, which we cannot ignore. For the unholy and profane, you know what the word profane literally means? Far from the temple of God. For the profane and for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, the very thing that our land is promoting here, this goes against the law of God. Sodomites, which is a homosexual. Sad that we have to even talk like this. But friends, we have to continue to warn the Church of Christ. Something very amazing happened in class this morning. A young man was talking about what his mom and dad taught him when he was real little, and he's little now. And it told me something. Mom and dad is doing something at home. You know what we ought to be doing? Teaching our children right now identity. This is who you are. You're this. You're not that. And you continue to say it. The identity crisis that people have, we see it right here in the text. For kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to healthy teaching, so forth and so on. Friends, we can go on and on and on, but we don't have time. And so we want to talk about the benefits of Christ's law. It's probably one of my favorite points right here, because what it does, it offers mind-strengthening advantages. When you consider mind-strengthening advantages, we live in a time where people are so weak. But strength comes through the Word of God and the application of the Word of God. It's not enough just to know the Word of God, but we have to apply it. Just talking to my son, Michael, yesterday, and we was talking about some biblical passages, and we'll discuss those in a few minutes. But something that was very powerful that we was talking about is actually studying some things and then purposely going out and doing them and seeing the effects, whether it brings us what we say in our mind a blessing or it brings upon our lives persecution. Wow. Ponder that. Because 9 times out of 10, we're trying to stay away from the persecution. But we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Because when you consider the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, and you think about the will of God not only pointed Jesus or led Jesus to some good times in his life, but it led him to persecution. And we'll have something to say about that. In Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, when we consider some of the advantages, it gives us things to consider and ponder. Think on these things. In Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12, wish we had time to go through all of these, but we don't. Here you have the blessings. And therefore, it gives us things to reflect upon concerning kingdom living. When we consider this, it promotes integrity. It produces Christ-like character. It provides strength and courage. We see kingdom principles and Pentecost pointers in these particular verses. And I wish we could talk about the walks in Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. In verse number 2, we see that Paul told the church there to walk in love, agape. In verse number 8, he says, walk as children of light. In verse 15, walk carefully, circumspectly. I was talking to a young man the other day. Evelyn and I was talking to a young man yesterday at the gym, probably about 15, 16. And I said, if you can do anything in your life, if you can do anything in your life, keep your record clean so it don't come back and get you. If you can do anything in your life. So I said, you need to measure twice and cut once. I say, son, do you understand what that means? No, sir. So I explained it to him. Measure twice. That is all right for you to look at a situation, analyze the situation, measure the situation to make sure that you're doing it right. It's all right to do right. So when we think about the law of Christ, thinking, pondering, considering, demonstrating a walk with Jesus Christ like none other. Friends, we can do this. We have to do this if we're going to be right with the Lord. It provides discernment. It provides discernment, the ability to judge well. Look at Philippians 1. Look at verses 9 through 11. In Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, as we hurriedly make our points. Here we see Paul talking to the church at Philippi. It's about 62, 63 A.D. He established a congregation in Acts 16 with Lydia and the jailer. And it's interesting that he's writing back to these brethren. Here he says, and this I pray, verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more, notice, in knowledge and in all discernment. The word discernment there is the idea of making or judging well ethical matters. We live in a time where people can't even judge ethical matters today. Don't know right from wrong, good from evil, righteousness from unrighteousness. Friends, when we stop and we consider the law of Christ and considering remaining under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, it provides us discernment. It provides us the attitude to approve excellent things, things that are excellent. Saw a video, I was listening to a video. As a matter of fact, Evelyn was listening to the video yesterday. And I just so happened to be walking in the room and hear some things concerning Denzel Washington. An actor, and he says he promotes and he supports law enforcement, the military, and anyone that speaks against them. He really don't have much for them, and I appreciated that point. And he said that officers of the law are not called to be perfect, they're called to be excellent. Great point. Excellent point. We're not perfect, but we are called to be excellent. What does that mean? That we are striving for top-notch performance in our minds and in our lives. The law of Christ provides that for us. We can be an excellent husband, an excellent spouse, an excellent son, an excellent daughter. We can be an excellent employer, an excellent employee. We can be an excellent citizen of the United States of America, and we can shine as lights in this world. Wow. It provides discernment, the ability to judge well, to approve excellent things. Luke 9:45. To have understanding, Hebrews 5, verse 14, to discern or to separate good from evil. Friends, I don't know about you, but I appreciate those points. And the reason why is because God wants us to be a people of excellence. If not, why not? It produces indescribable joy. The law of God, the law of Christ. I get on myself sometimes when I find myself not reading the Word of God as much as I need to throughout the week. There's one thing to listen to podcasts. There's another thing to watch videos. There's another thing to listen to sermons online. But it's nothing like you and the Word of God by yourself. To be able to hear God's law come into your mind. One thing I appreciate about Brother Eric, he's always listening to God's word. And he always says, well, I can't see, so I got to listen. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We appreciate you, Brother Eric, your example. And anyone else that studies the word of God, that allows the wisdom of God to permeate their minds, saturate their hearts, in order for them to make good decisions, in order to have what we call indescribable joy. when we consider this point, even during difficult days, we need this type of joy. In Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus would teach us a great lesson. Because as we remain under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, as we stay within his law, within his word, this is why gospel preaching is so important. This is why I and anyone else who mounts the pulpit, teaches a class, have the responsibility of measuring twice, cutting once, making sure that the word of God goes out untainted. The reason why is because souls are at stake. The joy of people is at stake. Here, even in the midst of tough times, during difficult days, Jesus being the greatest example of what? Notice verse number 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice this. Who for the joy that was set before him. You remember what Jesus went through, friends? You remember the scourging that he took, Isaiah 53 verses 5 and following. You remember the beating that he took. And Isaiah 52 verses 13 and 14 said that his visage was marred beyond any other man. When you think about what he endured, what he went through, for what? His sins? Our dear brother Royce, during the Lord's Supper, read that that wasn't the case. He was humble. He was obedient to the will of God. And he took a scourging for us, a beating for us, even to the point where being dishonored on the cross on multiple levels, not just by the thief that was on one side, but those who would walk by wagging their heads, spitting upon him. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus, are you sure? Are you sure that was a joy? It was joyous for you to go through that for us. It was a joy. But friends, joy and happiness are two different things. It didn't seem like things were going Jesus's way that day, but it was. Sometimes things doesn't go our way as children of God, but we still have to have joy. Just knowing that we have eternal life waiting for us. That we have our God and Father who loves us so dearly, waiting for us to come and live with him throughout eternity. Friends, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising, literally in the Greek, he thought against the shame. The things that Jesus went through, he fought against it. He didn't allow that to affect his heart. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He took his position beside the Father. All because he understood the law of God. We must understand the law of Jesus Christ. And it must produce joy in our hearts. But then it makes me think about the point that my son and I was talking about. And it's this point right here. I so appreciate being able to talk Bible with my children, with my spouse. Miss Evelyn gave me a point during camp that I used on Wednesday night. And I was so appreciative of that point. Now, I bring that up because it's a joy to be able to live with someone you can discuss God's word with. Are you discussing God's word with your spouse? Does your spouse discuss God's word with you? We discuss many things, finances, children. But are we discussing the word of God? Thank you. Are we discussing God's word? Well, maybe you don't have a spouse, and get you someone in the church that you can discuss the word of God with, that you can have that joy. But here we see something very powerful. When our identification with Christ is frowned upon, Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, notice what our Lord says. Blessed are you when men, number one, hate you. Number two, when they separate you, exclude you. Number three, revile you, talk bad about you. Number four, cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's the reason. And then verse 23, rejoice in the day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Again, you saw the four things. They hate you. They exclude you. They revile you. They cast your name out as evil. The word rejoice literally means to be glad, to be well, to applaud. Hooray! These are the definitions. Jesus, are you sure? To rave about, to express admiration for Jesus. Are you sure about this? When people hate me and exclude me and revile me and cast my name out as evil because I'm doing the will of God, I'm standing up for righteousness, I want to be moral, I'm doing that which is correct, and you're telling me to say hooray? I'm telling you to say hooray. That's foreign to our thinking. We want to pout and complain and mourn. And Jesus is saying, say hooray. Look it up, just in case you want to pull on that. But then he goes even further, and this is the point my son gave, and I'm like, wow. Leap for joy. The phrase there is the same phrase as we see concerning John in the womb of Elizabeth. When Mary walked by, the babe leaped in her womb. It's a physical expression of being done wrong. Jesus, are you serious? I'm serious. It literally means to skip around in the Greek, to jump, which teaches a physical response of joy when enduring difficult and tough times for the cause of Christ and the gospel.
I say, son, you're blessing me. I said, I'm using this tomorrow.
One thing I love about the word of God, there's no patent on it. I can use it. You give me a good point, I'm going to use it. Why? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Put a smile on your face. Now you're telling me to smile. You ought to put a smile on your face. You're in Christ. You ought to put a smile on your face. You're on your way to heaven, unless you're not. You ought to put a smile on your face when people hate you and revile you and talk bad about you. And the only thing that you're doing is standing up for what is right. And friends, I venture to say there will be more of this going on. There will be. As the world becomes more and more evil, as the world continues to operate outside of the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, as men and women consider being the author and finisher of their own life instead of Jesus, we're going to stand up. And so we may have to stand up against some of the things that are around us. And truth be told, I misspoke. There's no may. We will have to stand up. And we stop and we consider. We need to work on these things for sure. And so when we consider the benefits of Christ's law, they're innumerable. The attitude would cause people who are seeking Christ to ask, just like the jailer, sirs, what must I do to be saved? As I was pondering this and thinking about this and considering the words that I could bless your life with this morning, we're so thankful that you're here. We love you here. We want you to do what's right, do what is good. Understand that it's all right to do the will of God, to stand up. You don't have to be mean in doing it. You don't have to be degrading. You don't have to be belittling. The only thing you have to do is just stand where God stands, and God will take care of the rest. And he always does. And you can say, hooray, I did what God said. But Esther, isn't that a blessing? That you can go to bed at night knowing you did what was right. It's one thing I love about preaching the gospel. If what I have preached was right, I can go to bed saying, Father, thank you. But if what I preached was wrong, it ought to be on my heart all night long until I get it right. And so the benefits of remaining in the jurisdiction of Christ. Let me give you a few. There'll be joy in the midst of pain, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. There'll be security in the home. There's nothing like a husband and wife remaining within the jurisdiction of marriage. Children being faithful to their parents in the Lord. Neighborhoods, understanding that we all watch out for one another. Towns, cities, states, doing their best to uphold morality, security, soundness of faith, while many are leaving the faith. Healthy mental stability, while some are losing their everlasting minds. Purity of mind and body, even when tempted. And friends, make no mistake about it, the sin is not in the temptation. The sin is yielding to the temptation. I hope that encourages you. Because sometimes we think because we've been tempted, I'm wrong. No, it's when you yield to the temptation, whatever it may be. Hope of eternal life with God and spiritual protection for doing the will of God. Friends, I can't help but to thank God that there are benefits to remaining within the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider salvation. We want you to consider being a member of the Church of Christ. And you do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his son's church. But maybe you're a child of God and you have lost focus on the benefits of Christ's law. And friends, it is a benefit. They are for your and my protection. Stay within the realm of protection. Just as Noah stayed in the ark, we have to stay in the church. To leave the church is to leave the protection as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.